This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
All right, gentlemen, the Gopher. In fact, you know what? Oh, I don't have it on here. I was going to fire the Rouser, and there's 42 buttons in here. So you guys are spared from the Rouser. But the Gophers are back in the national championship game against vaunted Quinnipiac.
Were you over there in 02, 03 joining the riots? Or
You've hit a sore spot here, Patrick. I was a senior in high school the second year they won the championship.
Oh, so you never had a chance to riot, huh?
So all of my friends that I met in the dorms were all excited. Hey, yes. We got to get Gopher hockey tickets. And so we had Gopher hockey tickets all 4 years. And we would sit there in the student section, chant derogatory things at the opposing goalies, only to see them come up short time and time again in the NCAA tournament. We never got to experience it.
And in those 4 years, did they ever get back to the Frozen Four? I know they obviously didn't win.
I think they did at least once. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Get back. But, it isn't quite the guaranteed thing that it used to be, but, I would think, it's Easter week, so they're probably not in school, right? There's probably not in campus, so I don't know. Maybe it'll be hard to muster up a riot, won't it? I don't know. I think if they win on Saturday.
You can burn stuff still. You can burn a few things here and there. Why not?
Oh, yeah. There'll be enough students around to get something going, but, that's good. I'll tell you what. They play like they did last night. Nobody's going to beat them. Or yesterday, whoo! The first period and the third period, they were unbelievable. And they could have had 10 goals if the goalie wasn't out of his mind. And they had two taken away. One was, I think Nice probably was in the crease and interfering. But the other one was in the net, wasn't it, Judd? It was across the line. Nice. The glove was... The guy got the glove on it, but his glove was in the net, was over the line. So they have to see the puck, but you could see the puck. You could see the puck before he put his glove on it that it was in. So
if they had called that a goal on the ice, it would have been a goal. But because they didn't, they couldn't see it in. So, but I mean, they played great. I got a little bit nervous though because the first period, the Gophers looked like they were on a perpetual power play and they weren't taking the lead. And I'm like, oh boy, this isn't good, but they're so damn good. They're so fast.
Well, when I saw them up in Fargo, they just absolutely dominated the first period. They were flat the second period and then they were good again in the third period. And that was the same thing last night. They were the first 10 minutes of the second period, they got outshot 9-1 or something. And then they took over the game again. Once again, idiotic penalties hurt the other team. They got, how about you kill off the 5-on-3, you get it back to 5-on-4, and the period is ending, and some guy decides to take a run at somebody and board him, and then go back onto the 5-on-3. That was not a very bright thing by BU, but once they got flying around in the third period, that was a different level of speed you don't see in college hockey, man. They have so much talent. It's incredible.
Yeah. And if this was, if this was like the NHL and you played a 7-game series against Quinnipiac, you probably win in 4 or 5, maybe 6 games, but it's one game. And as we've seen before with the Gopher hockey team, anything can happen.
And Quinnipiac is a much more of a defensive-oriented team, I think, than BYU was. And how they beat Michigan, how many of those were empty netters? I watched like 10 minutes of that game.
Right? But,
so it was 3-2, and then they got two empty netters. Michigan, though, Michigan, how many number one draft choices? Like 4, 5, 6?
They've got like 9 guys, 10 guys. They got a ridiculous amount who have just been drafted across the board.
It's like six first rounders.
First rounders. That's what I was. I mean, incredible. they got the freshman, but they screwed around and let it be 2-2 going into the third period. And the other team gets the first one. Pucker time, baby. Pucker time. And that's, you know, that happens in hockey, and especially in college hockey, when you give that one up, and you know, a lot of amazing upsets in college hockey these years. They're used to, not like it was, but, you know, I mean, before Motzko came here, that St. Cloud State team in Sioux Falls, before he got they'd already basically hired him.
Yep.
And he got that job. And I think they were number one seed, at least in the regional. And who'd they get beat by?
Air Force
or somebody, well. You know. And that was his last game there. And he was famous for, not getting out. He took them to the Frozen Four once, but they had some terrible defeats. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no cinch tomorrow, but man, they look good when they get rolling. they are something when they get rolling. That's for sure.
And it took Motzko a couple years as he was building this thing. Yeah. But I mean, it's been as everyone thought, it's been a wild success after four seasons of building what he wanted to.
Yeah, I was over talking to him a month ago or 3 weeks or whatever it was, and we went through everything. You know, we talked about all the stars and blah, 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 and then we talked about all the other, a bunch of other stuff. And then he said, oh, wait a minute. You should mention Luke Middlestead. He said, this kid doesn't get any attention. He said, he's a rock. He's the most competitive guy you're ever going to find. He's wicked smart. He said he's just fantastic. And then he only had like two goals or three goals. And then he's gotten three now in the NCAA tournament. He got the two from the point last night. So he was the older son is now with Buffalo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Casey. Yeah. Yep. And he's a good player, but the twins are different kind of kids, I guess. They were not raised to be superstars. They just became they just became pretty good players. But they should win it. But you're right, Phil. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be tied 2-2 in the middle of the third period and some puck's going to go in off somebody's knee and you're going to get beat. You know, then you're going to have to empty the net and give up another one and blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah, I do want to shout out. I was texting these guys last night. A high school friend of mine, we graduated together at Buffalo High School in 2003. David Marshall. I knew that he went and played at Quinnipiac. I knew that he had like a 10-year professional career, AHL, ECHL. He's the all-time leading goal scorer still, 15 years later at Quinny. Yes.
Quinny, I looked it up. Quinny started a D3 program. It's a private school. I didn't know that. It's a private school. It's gone. It's changed. It only opened in the 1920s or sometime, but it's changed campuses about three times as it's gotten larger. But they didn't become D1 until 97 or 98, and they formed. They were part of forming that Metro Atlantic League is kind of the weaklings of Eastern Hockey League. That's where Holy Cross is from too, right? Isn't it? And some of these, these second Merrimack and schools like that were wanting to be D1, they basically formed their own league of these nothing programs. And now they've been pretty good for quite a while here. So, I didn't know it was Connecticut. I thought it was a Massachusetts college. It's a Connecticut college. It's right next to New Haven, right next to Yale, down the street from Yale, basically.
Yeah. So let's be safe. Let's be safe on Saturday night. Okay. No, don't light any cars on fire.
I got my matches.
Are we going to grease the poles in Dinkytown, or are we going to just kind of let it ride?
I imagine they'll be driving around in the late afternoon there, the cops, just to see how many people are mingling. That would be my guess. What bars do we have on campus that we mingle in?
There's the New Salad. It depends on what part of campus. Like if you want to go, to the Stadium Village area, you got the New Sallys. Yeah. We still have whatever the library is called now, the College Club or something. Yeah. You got Blarney.
Dinky Town doesn't have saloons, though, does it? I mean, they don't have many saloons. What, one, basically, you know, over there?
Blarney's sort of a saloon.
Yeah, but the you got Stubb and Herb's and over there. But you know,
I'll tell you what, go over to Como, go down about 7 or 8 blocks. Go if you really want like a dive saloon, go to Sporty's.
Well,
or go to Manning's right across the street. Yeah.
They've changed Sporty's name. It's now it's a different name. It's like under the same ownership. It's like the same vibe, but they change it. But those and Manning's are awesome. Como Tap, that's what it's called.
The Como Tap. There you go. Okay.
Well,
don't burn it down, please. Just go and enjoy a beverage. And
you guys are giving all types of terrible ideas for what people want
to
do.
What time are they kicking off? They're not playing until like 7:30 or something, too, right? Why so late? Come on. Let's get her over.
Some of us have to get in bed by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right.
Television purposes, I am sure, for ESPN.
Hey, I'm sad to report we had a 3-hour baseball game yesterday. The Bravos and the Padres, 9-inning games, 3-18.
What happened?
Some runs were scored, but there must have been some long at bats or something.
Some reviews, some pitching changes. Yeah. Like, it takes a lot to get to 3-18 now.
It really does. They scored some runs in the game. It was 7-5 or something like that, but. We got the streak has been broken. Everything else was 2:30, 2:32, something like that. So today, what time are we? If we're gonna kick off at 3, it takes a little longer opening day. So the 3 o'clock, the first pitch will be what, 3:13, something like that. They'll have a next, 3:13, something like that. What do you think?
It's also a sad day because it's the first time in 40 years we will be without the Duke, Dick Bramer, for the home opener. The Duke, he tested positive for COVID. He's been dodging COVID for 3 years, and Corey Provis will take over TV broadcast.
How do you test positive for COVID? What do you even get tested for, right? You just...
There are tests available if you'd like to test yourself.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, if I got symptoms now... I just assume I got the flu, right? I don't know.
If you're a bit of an overachiever, you could go buy a test and just kind of confirm whether it's.
We had them here for a while. We don't have them now, but that's too bad. I'm sure the Duke will miss it. Was he going to be he wouldn't be. He wouldn't be announcing the guys as they line up and do all that nonsense.
No, anyway. I don't think so. Yeah, we missed that announcement, the three of us. So we had to wait for an aggregator to write about it because he announced it on Twitter, where the three of us are blocked by Dick Bramer. So
really,
we had to wait for Bring Me the News to aggregate the tweet, and then.
What did you guys do to offend him? Make a little fun of BSN or something? By the way, I saw Mike Rand had a. Piece today that the Cleveland and the Twins are the two teams that they aren't paying.
Yes.
BSN.
Yep.
And I don't know what the explanation of why they chose those two teams is not in there. But they're trying to, I know that they're trying to negotiate their way out of this thing, and maybe the Twins and Cleveland, because their amount of money they're getting is so low, weren't willing to negotiate it down any further. So.
It sounds like because the Twins are in, there's a big like Sports Business Journal write-up about this, that because the Twins are in the final year, so Diamond Sports would like to keep some of these intact and move forward, but because the Twins are at the end of their agreement, they can just like say goodbye, I guess.
So they're trying to... if you want your money, you're going to have to sign an extension with us. Is that basically what they're
smooth out the cap hit is what they're trying.
No, I think baseball. I think baseball wants the Twins and Guardians out of those contracts because I think they want to step in and produce the games. Yes.
What was the story? Sports Journal, the same thing. Didn't they report their audience, their customer base? Is down 50% in 3 years or something like that, 3-4 years. But, cable, that's what's happened to cable.
Yeah,
the subscriber base to Fox Sports North and Valley is down 50% in 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. Okay, it's that long.
But it's been it's been expedited the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, when they lose 77-year-old guys like me with no technology, technological skills, they've basically lost their core audience, haven't they?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, hey, it's only gonna be 50 today, though. It's not. It's not balmy, but it's better than it would have been yesterday. Yeah. And Houston,
it's not gonna be warm. I don't care.
By the way, if you look at this Houston lineup, you're not playing the world champions here. You're not playing the World Series champions. This is the bottom of that order. Has got a lot of strangers on it, and they've they're missing Altuve. They're missing. Did Alvarez come back?
I'm not sure if he came back.
Yeah, but they've had a. I looked at their box score a couple of days in a row, and the bottom of it isn't that great. And their bullpen has been a little shakier. Ryan Pressly blew the opener, I think he blew the opener, and then a couple of their other relievers have not been as great. So they're going to have to put her back together there, but. They usually put it back together here. When they were 6-0 against the Twins last year. And, of course, we all remember the series that they came in here. What year was it? Early in the year and scored 41 runs in 3 games. Remember that series?
Well,
that
was 17, I think, Pat. 2017. Yeah,
whatever that was. I remember that thing. It was unbelievable. They were hitting rockets everywhere. So,
poor Twins.
But, hey. Let's have a nice little 2-hour and 20-minute game. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's keep it snappy. Let's go.
The fiance asked, well, if you're going to the Twins game, how long am I going to be there? And I said, oh, I'll be back by 6 o'clock. I mean, for God's sake, the game's going to start at 3:10. Well, I'll be home for dinner.
We have some dinner plans at 6 o'clock, too. And for a while, I was like, I don't know. That might be a little bit. I don't know. I think we're pretty safe now.
It could be okay.
Pretty safe. It's great.
Especially with this team. Not only do you have speed-up rules, but you have a team with good pitching and lousy hitting, which absolutely. plays into even shorter games, right?
Manfred perfection right there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I, as a sports writer, you know, the 1977 team was as much fun to cover as anybody. But really, you were always better off if you had a team that couldn't hit, because you could get the damn games over on deadline time.
Yes.
Because that 77 game, even before it was fashionable, they could play a 3.5-hour game. The famous 19-12 game on that Sunday, June 26th of 1977, when Rodney got all his standing ovations and Glenn hit and bitch Adams drove in 8 runs and nobody wanted to talk to him. Everybody wanted to talk to Rodney after the game.
Yep. Well, yeah. Enjoy. Are you going to be at Target Field for what, a couple games or what's your...
I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday. I'm not sure about Easter Sunday yet. I'm, as a dedicated Cheester, Christmas and Easter, I got to try to sneak in church. Although my Cheester attendance has slipped too in recent years. So I try to make at least one of them, but I miss Christmas. So I have to shoot for Easter. You know.
Don't forget pace of mass. If it starts to go along, speak up.
Yeah, that homily goes
on Easter
around.
On Easter Sunday, I don't think you can worry about pace of mass.
That's their Super Bowl. It's their chance to kind of go.
Right. We all know the story.
They got the 40-minute halftime show at that one. So
I'll tell you, you have a good time on your Cheester celebration. Jim Nance is my priest on Sunday, and so that's going to be my church.
Oh, yeah. Hey, your guy John Rahm. What a prediction, Phil. He four-putts. Yep. 4 putts on the first. I told you that he used the quote, but they misquoted him. They all say Seve said, miss, make. No, he didn't. He said, Seve, how did you 4 putt? I miss, I miss, I miss, I make.
Yep.
That's what he said. I was there for that one. I make.
And then he shoots, and then Rahm shoots 9 under the rest of the way to tie for the first round lead. Ridiculous.
Good luck down there, though, this weekend. It looks like they're going to be playing on Monday. They're going to have lots of rain and wind and cold temperatures. And high on Saturday, 51. The high Sunday, 59.
Great for Tiger. Great for Tiger to grind out another.
Great for Tiger to shoot him. Nice little high score today and go home.
Home for the first time since 1996, by the way.
Yes. He'll miss the cut. When he was an amateur, right? Mm-hmm. The only time he missed it was when he was an amateur.
Yep. So, all right, Pat, gentlemen. Good stuff. We'll see you next week.
Happy opener.
Amen. All right. Royce Unchained on Score North.